I want to tell you a very short little story, and then we're going to talk about the book of Esther. My mother-in-law, my husband and I have been married nearly 40 years, and I don't remember how long because I'm menopausal. I have no clue about anything. Except just like whatever is right in front of me, and all the menopausal women in the room know exactly what I used to have Velcro in my brain, but I've sweated it all out. So stuff comes in, it doesn't stick, it just goes right out again. Yeah. My mother-in-law. Very godly woman. Very godly woman. Served Christ her whole life. Whole life. Focused, intense, like a laser on serving Christ. When she was in her early 50s, she left her family, she and her husband left San Diego, sort of family home, and went to South Texas to learn Spanish so that she could go minister to people in Mexico, all right? Played piano. I have so many memories of her. And she grew up, she was kind of a hillbilly and from Kentucky, and grew up playing honky-tonk sort of in church kind of music, you know what I mean? She never liked it when anybody sang any kind of song in a minor key. She thought minor keys were from Satan. She really did. Anyway, but she was godly and wonderful. The last 6 to 8 months of her life, she fell into a terrifying dementia. And she has 4 sons, 3 of whom live in San Diego. And so we were all involved watching her. And she began to think that all of us were lying to her and that she actually was supposed to be living somewhere else, but we wouldn't tell her where that was. And my daughter, who was her first female daughter or granddaughter, first female that she had around her, who was, just her favorite, She even called her a liar and was like slamming the table and when my daughter was trying to tell her that everything was okay. Time went on. She eventually got into a situation where she was hitting her sister, whom she loved dearly, and because she thought her sister was lying to her about where she was supposed to live, she was fixated on that. I'll be honest with you. There were loads of days that I said, I don't know what you're doing, to the Lord. And my daughter, and my husband, all of us, my daughter and I would have any number of conversations about, you really? You understand what I'm saying? Just really? This? Is what happens to her, really? Now, I don't have a sweet little answer to this, okay? Because we live in a world where there are not always sweet little answers to things, right? We live in a world of true suffering. We eventually had to put she and her husband in a home. Within 3 months, the Lord came and took her, for which we were very grateful. 6 weeks later, 5 or 6 weeks later, the Lord came and took her husband. I'm saying that just to set this up. We live in a sin-cursed world where there is significant, seemingly unexplained suffering, right? You know, I hope you are not a person who thinks that if you just say the magic words, somehow everything will work out better. Now, not saying we don't have any hope or that we can't pray or that sometimes, as in the book of Esther, things seem to work themselves out. God works. But that's not always what happens, is it? And we have to be people who understand suffering and the kinds of suffering that people go through, our counselees go through, and to be able to be comfortable to say to them, sometimes God's hand is invisible to me. I don't know what's going on. Why is this happening? I don't know. I trust the Lord. I trust that He's good. I trust that He knows. However, I don't understand, and I'll be honest with you, I still don't understand. I don't understand. I mean, you know, maybe the Lord's using it because I'm going to talk to you about it now, but why would a woman like that have to suffer like that? I don't know the answer to that, and I'm okay with it. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to sort of do a flyover of the book of Esther, because I think that's one of those books. The book of Esther is one of those books that if you were living in the book, you wouldn't really be understanding what was going on. So let's talk about Esther, and I'm going to try to do that and get you guys out of here on time. I was told that I could keep you over the break, but some of you might actually have apples or oranges or something in your purses, and I don't want to get hit. So trusting God when you cannot see His hand, the hidden God who uses broken people. Are you glad for that? That He uses broken people. I'm thankful for that. So let me just ask you, do you ever use the book of Esther in your counseling? It's hard to do that if you're confused about the point of the book, right? And Esther is one of those books. It's kind of like, you know, I know it's there, and, you know, like the women all read it. What am I supposed to do with it? Should we tell female counselees they should be like Esther? Don't say yes. Should we tell male counselees they should be like Mordecai? I'm assuming you are all already familiar with the book, and I don't need to. If you are not familiar with it, go home and read it. Or is the book of Esther just going to be one of those books that we don't use much in counseling? I want to encourage you that you can use the book of Esther in counseling. It's not a very good soundbite book, but it's a really lovely videotape book. Okay? Do you get that? It's not a good soundbite book, but it's a really great videotape book so that you can progress through the book with a counselee. If it doesn't fly where the rubber meets the road in the counseling room, then why is it there at all? Well, first of all, we know it's there because it speaks to us about Christ. And here's Jesus. You know, Jesus, after the resurrection, on the road to Emmaus, and afterward with His disciples, is giving a hermeneutics lesson to His disciples. He's teaching them how to read and interpret Scripture. So Luke 24, here's Jesus. At the end of that passage there, it says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself." So Jesus is the point of all the Bible. He is the point of the New Testament, quite obviously. He is the point of the Old Testament. He is the point of the book of Esther. But hold on, wait a minute. How do we see Jesus in Esther? I'm going to get there. And again, here's Jesus later on, after the road to Emmaus, after the resurrection, the road to Emmaus. Here's Jesus, and He's talking, and He says, "These are My words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about Me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. So when He's talking about the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, that's basically shorthand for all the Old Testament. And then again, here's Jesus talking in John 5. He says to